إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 11th lecture in this series dealing with the great importance of Salat from the book Ta'zeem As-Salat by Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Naam, our topic is the great importance of Salat, its magnificence and exalted status and rank in the life of a Muslim. And our topic tonight specifically is Takbiratul Ihram, and it's chapter 11 from the book, which he has entitled Takbiratul Ihram. And in summary, this topic is emphasizing the virtue of the person who comes to the Salah early, so that they are present from the beginning of the Salah, from the first Takbir, the Tahbiratul Ihram, after which a person should be completely emerged and engaged in Salah, and remove from their mind and their heart anything other than the fact that they are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That standing which will determine what the next standing on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be like. Before we enter into our topic for tonight, we want to look back quickly at some of the topics that we dealt with last week in lecture number 10, where we dealt with the importance of the Fajr prayer, the dawn prayer, and the emphasis or the importance that was attached to it by the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in general, and specifically Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So the first question from Questionnaire Study Guide for lecture number 10 mentioned the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu concerning missing Fajr prayer due to staying up for tahajjud. What was the statement of Umar? Naam, Ibrahim.
Qala Umar radiallahu anhu, la'an ashhada salat al-subha fil jama'ati ahabba ilayya min an aquma laylatan.
Naam, mashallah. Meaning?
To be present for the Fajr prayer congregation is more beloved to me than praying the whole of the night.
Now, being present for the Fajr prayer, being in attendance in congregation in the masjid for the Fajr prayer, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, is more beloved to him than standing in voluntary prayer for the whole night. So, this statement, why did he say this? Why did he make this statement? In reference to what? Now, Ahmed. No, in reference to, he said this to someone.
Okay.
Why did he say it to that person? Who was he speaking to, by the way? Who was he speaking to?
Well, when he stayed up all night.
No, who was he speaking to when he said this? Sulaiman. He was speaking to the mother of that man. Now, that man whose mother he was speaking to, what was this all about? Yani from the beginning of the story, in brief, from the beginning of the story. Naam, Adam. Before she said anything, what happened first? From the beginning of the story, Naam.
Omar noticed that he didn't come to
Fajr. First thing, Omar noticed he didn't see him in the Fajr prayer. No. Omar's checking who came to the Fajr prayer, he didn't see him there. After that, Omar? Omar went out to the marketplace. That man's house was where? Between the masjid and the marketplace. So on the way to the marketplace, he was passing by his house, he ran into who?
His mother.
And he said to her, what?
What happened to your son?
Sort of. And he exactly, he said, Lam ara Sulaiman fi subh. I didn't see Sulaiman at the dawn prayer. Now, yani, what happened to him? Now, it's okay. Then she said, Naam. Naam. She made an excuse for her son. Not make excuse like making up something. She explained what happened. He did what?
He was engaged in prayer.
He was engaged in prayer the whole night. He spent the night in prayer. And when by the time dawn came, he was tired and sleep overtook him. Galabatu? I know. When she said that, saying, okay, so this is why he wasn't there. He was engaged in prayer. Omar then made this statement that it, being in attendance for the Fajr prayer is more beloved to me than praying the whole night. It's more beloved to me than that. Now, tremendous statement from Omar. Second question. Explain the nusr, or the show of goodwill, sincerity displayed by Omar radiallahu anhu in this incident. Now, what do we mean by nusr here? Now, show of goodwill, sincerity, good, giving advice or good counsel to someone. How do we see it in this incident? What was it?
So as for the goodwill, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was his importance in monitoring the people in regards to this salah.
Showing importance by monitoring the people about this salah, seeing who's there and who's not there, and?
And also it was his serving the people and making a note of those who were present.
Making a note of those who are present and those who are absent, and finally?
Following up on it.
Yani going looking for those people to advise them, to give them advice and to warn them against the danger of missing the Fajr prayer in congregation. This shows the nusr, yani the goodwill and sincerity of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu for the people. And this is very important. This is an example for all of us. And he got it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to do like that. And he's following the example of the Prophet ﷺ and doing exactly what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. Monitor the people for the Fajr prayer. See who's there and who's not there. Make a note of this. In order to help the people. Not to spy on people, but to be able to advise people and encourage them to do good and warn them against any falling short in the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 3. Mention the fiqh, the understanding of the sunnah displayed by Umar radiallahu anhu in this incident. What was the fiqh that was displayed by Omar in this incident? Naam, nobody in the back? Tayyib, Fadl, Ibrahim.
Goes back to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
What was the fiqh first?
Understand that the obligatory prayer is always more excellent than the nawafil.
Okay, understanding the obligatory prayer is more important or more excellent than the nawafil, and who wants to express it in a different way? The fiqh that's displayed by Omar, Naam.
The tremendous understanding of Umar radiallahu ta'ala in this instance is his statement, which was the notification of the status of this tremendous obligation.
Now,
and also its high station.
Its high station.
Now, and it's where he said in his statement, لَعَنْ أَشْهَدَ صَلَاةَ الصُّبْحِ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَقُومَ اللَّيْلَ.
Now. Yani, the fiqh he's saying, the brother is saying, in case some people didn't hear, he's saying the fiqh is in the statement of Umar, the statement that he just mentioned, that being in attendance for the Fajr prayer is more beloved to me than standing in voluntary prayer the whole night. In that statement is a notification, tanbih, to the people to pay attention to what? The great, magnificent status of this salat and its high station, its high rank, its very high rank. He's saying that this salat has a very high rank. It's very important. It has a great status, position, station. And he's bringing this to their attention by what? By saying, being in attendance in this prayer is more important than standing the whole night in prayer. Doesn't this show the status, the manzila, huh, of this great salat, this great obligation, the Fajr prayer? Naam. And this also should be, yani, something that we make note of, the importance of being in attendance for the Fajr prayer. It's more important than things which are also important, but not equally important, like standing in the night in prayer. It's very important, but it's not equal to attending the Fajr prayer in the masjid, in the jama'ah, with the imam, from the first takbir. Memorize the dalil which supports the fiqh in the above statement of Umar radiallahu anhu in this incident. Memorize the fiqh, naam. نعم
ومن صلى الصبح في جماعة فكأنما صلى الليل كله
نعم Who else memorized this hadith? Who else? موسى Who else? Who's that? Oh, Sali? Haheed What is the meaning of it? Somebody tell me the meaning of it. نعم Somebody back here, نعم Whoever prayed Isha in the masjid in Jama'ah, in the Jama'ah, so we understand it means in the masjid, it is as though they have stood for half of the night. Uh-huh. And whoever prayed Fajr in the masjid with the Jama'ah, and it is as though they have prayed for the whole night. That should also be an encouragement to us, what? To attend the Isha prayer in Jama'ah, and to attend the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah. As the Prophet ﷺ said, these two prayers, the Fajr prayer and the Isha prayer, are the most difficult, the heaviest, the most burdensome prayer for the hypocrites. And if they knew how important they were, they would come to them crawling, even on their knees. Now, طيب, question number five, summarize the incident, the event, and statement of Umar radiallahu anhu when he was awakened for Fajr on his deathbed. Can he summarize the incident and also tell me what was the statement of Umar? What is the summary of the incident? Now, let's hear from Salih. Muwattab Imam Malik, now.
And this one in the Mahrama. Came in the night that Umar ibn Khattab was stabbed to wake him for Salat al Subh. And so Umar ibn Khattab woke up and said, Naam, la hadha fi al-Islam li man taraka al-Salat.
نعم. And what did he do after he said that?
After he said that, he
قام
وصلى وجهه يتعب
تمام. نعم. جزاك الله خير. And the summary of this event is what? That Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله عنه, he was stabbed. A stabbing that caused his death. And in the night that he was stabbed, while blood was still gushing from his wound, المسوى ابن مخرمة رضي الله عنه, he came to Umar to wake him up for Fajr prayer. Man is dying with blood gushing from his body. He's waking up for the Fajr prayer. What did Umar say? Can't you see I'm sick? No. Naam. Naam. Yes. Call me. I'm ready. Huh? La hadha fil Islam. Liman taraka salat. There's no portion of Islam for the person who abandons salat. And we have so many excuses. If somebody was to wake up for the Fajr prayer and you're tired or anything, the least little excuse you can find, get away from me. This was the attitude of Umar ibn al-Khattab and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in general. And this is the attitude that we ask Allah to put in our hearts so that we can act like this. Question number six. Mention the three acts which free a sleeping person from the knots of shaitan tied at the back of one's head. Yani, when a person goes to sleep at night, shaitan ties three knots at the back of their head. And he says what?
Sleep for the whole night.
Sleep. The night is long. Sleep. Enjoy it. Huh? So what are the things that three things that a person can do in order to untie those knots? Now, Musa. Number one. That if, when a person wakes up, they should make dhikr. Mention the name of Allah. Praise Allah. Alhamdulillah. Like what can they say, for example, from the sunnah? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. Yani, praise be to Allah who gave us life after he caused us to death, after he caused us to die, wa alayhi nushur, and to him is the gathering for resurrection. What else can you say? Naam.
La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu.
Shahada.
La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu.
Naam. أكواد إلا بالله. What else? نعم. عفاني لجسدي ورد علي. نعم. This is another supplication, very important supplication. Alhamdulillah, to Allah who has given me يعني عفاني في جسدي, يعني made my body to be healthy. ورد علي روحي, and returned my soul to me after he took it away, returned it for me to come back to life. وأذن لي بذكره, and has given me permission, give me the ability and the permission to remember him. Now, if a person says that, then they're going to be doing what? Remembering Allah. That's the first thing. Second thing, making wudu. They should make wudu. Perform wudu. Now, purify yourself after sleeping. And the third thing, now, who's in the back right there? I can't see. Now, and pray. And to make prayer. Pray two rak'ah or whatever yani Allah ordains for you, as much as you can. Two or four or six, yani, whatever. Now, طيب. These three things are very important for us. When you wake up, make sure you make zikr. Remember Allah, praise Allah, make wudu, and pray something. Some rak'ah, voluntary prayer. Tayyib, memorize the hadith which mentions shaitan urinating the ears of one who sleeps the whole night, missing the fajr. Tayyib, Abdullah. Now, it's reported by Bukhari and Muslim. From Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. أصبح.
قال رسول الله.
نعم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم.
صلى الله عليه وسلم. ذلك رجل وذلك ذاك رجل بال الشيطان في أذنيه أو قال أذنيه.
أو قال في أذنيه. نعم. طيب. It was mentioned in the presence of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم a man who what slept the whole night until the morning came. يعني until he missed Fajr. Past dawn, till sunrise. And the Prophet ﷺ said, that is a man who shaitan has urinated in his two ears. Or he said, in his ear. Now, be careful. Go to sleep. Try to go to sleep at night. Get some sleep so you can get up in the morning before Fajr, or at least by Fajr. If not before Fajr. And Allah is the one who grants success. Ask Allah, He will answer. Go to sleep with the intention to wake up to worship Allah. Question number 8. Discuss the story and the condition of Sa'id ibn Yarbu radiallahu anhu and Umar's statement radiallahu anhu statement to him. And the story of Sa'id ibn Yarbu radiallahu anhu and his condition and the statement of Umar to him. What is the story about? Naam, tell us the story. Old man, almost 100 years old.
And he became blind.
And on the occasion of him becoming blind,
Umar
went to visit him.
And he gave him some advice.
What did he say to him? What did he say to him? Now. What? Wala salat? The masjid? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning? Don't abandon the Jumu'ah prayer. Nor the Salat in general in the Masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who was he talking to? Sa'id ibn Yarbu radiallahu anhu, who lived to be about 120 years. At that time he was almost 100 and he had lost his sight. He was blind. And when Umar said that to him, what did he say? Basically, I don't have anybody to bring me to the masjid, to guide me. I'm blind. 100 years old, I'm blind. How am I going to get to the masjid? Umar said, what? نحن نبعث إليك بقائد. Now, we will send to you somebody to guide you. And he did send a young man from the captives to guide him to the salat. To take him, to bring him to the masjid. To bring him to the masjid. This shows the great importance and the care and concern that Umar radiallahu anhu had for this salat in jama'ah, in the masjid. And for the people, concern for the people. People in need, he sent help for them. Question number 9. I mentioned the story of the rope tied tightly between a man's house and the door of the masjid. What is this story? Is this a hadith from 1,000 years ago? This is present day right now, contemporary story that the Shaykh himself, Abdul Razak, Hafizahullah, he mentioned. What did he say? Anybody remember the story? Naam, Musa. Rope was tied from the masjid to a house. He asked about what is this rope tied to a masjid and a house?
He said that it's an older guy that he's blind also and he doesn't have somebody that's a person.
Naam.
That's why he tied the rope every now and then. Whenever you want to go to the masjid, you just hold the rope and go.
Naam. This was in a small village outside of Medina. The Sheikh probably went there to give da'wah to the people, and he saw this rope and he asked, what is this? They said, this is the house of an old man who is blind and he doesn't have anybody to guide him to the masjid. So at every time of prayer, he said, at every time of prayer, not sometimes, once in a while, most of the time, for every prayer, he holds onto that rope and goes to the masjid and returns by the same means. And even till today, because a lot of people think in the old days it was like that. No, right now, there are people who believe in Allah, who worship Allah, and they are concerned about worshiping Allah the way He deserves to be worshipped, and especially in the salah, and the congregational salah, in the masjid. And we have a lot of excuses why we can't get to the masjid. We have a lot of excuses. And some of them might be legitimate. Maybe. A lot of them are not legitimate. Because these people, they had excuses too, but they didn't make excuses. They just did it. They did it. Old people, blind people, all kinds of people in different conditions. And the last question, guarding the Fajr Salah in Jama'ah is a sign of the blank of one's Iman and an indicator of the blank of one's Islam. Yani, guarding the congregational prayers in the masjid is what? A sign of? Sidq al-Iman. The truthfulness or sincerity of a person's Iman. This is a sign from the alamat of Sidq al-Iman. That a person is careful and cautious and concerned about performing the prayer in the masjid in Jama'ah. And it is also what? Naam, and it is also mu'ashirun, an indicator of the quwwatil Islam, the strength of a person's Islam. It shows that a person's Islam is strong when they're concerned about making the salah in the Jama'ah. And I'm saying that all of us have fallen short, no doubt, for sure. And whoever hasn't, you excluded, no problem. But we mean all of us, most of us, we have fallen short. And let us do better. Let's take an example from the Salaf, from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the people, the early generation of Muslims, and even from the people today. Let's take example from them in this matter. And let's be inspired and motivated to do better and not be content with our condition. Our condition is not good. We should not be content with it. Tayyib, our topic tonight, Takbiratul Ihram. Takbiratul Ihram. Yani, what is takbir? Saying Allahu Akbar. Yani, declaring that Allah is the greatest. Allah is greater than everything and everyone. And serving Allah, being obedient to Allah, being submissive to Allah, this is the most important thing. Everything else is secondary. And this takbiratul Ihram means the first takbir. Yani, takbiratul Ihram means when you make this takbir, khalas, you're in a condition of consecration. You're in a condition of worship. You're not supposed to be looking around, talking to people, yani letting your mind roam and your heart and thinking about all kind of other stuff. Rather, once you say this takbir, the first one, opening the salat, no, now you're in communion with your Lord. This is serious. This is very serious. The Shaykh, he begins, the hadith that he begins with is the foundation of this topic, and everybody should try to memorize this hadith. Everybody should try to memorize this hadith. In Arabic if possible, if not then in English. And dwell on it. And in memorizing it requires you to read it over and over and over again. And in doing that, it makes you to reflect upon it. And to allow it to come into your heart and into your mind. And to remain a part of you so that it becomes important to you to actually live by, yani, what we find, the inspiration, the motivation, and encouragement that's found in this hadith. The Shaykh begins with a hadith reported by Al-Tirmidhi in his Jami', yani the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. And in the footnote, the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he says, وَحَسَّنَهُ الْأَلْبَانِي فِي الصَّحِيحَةِ, hadith number 1979. Yani the Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, declared this hadith to be hasan. That means that the hadith is not of the highest grade of a hadith, yani sahih, but it's hasan. And that means that it has some shortcoming or some defect, but in spite of that, there are other proofs and evidences due to which it is considered to be acceptable, a good hadith that we can act upon and we can, yani, accept. And we will see that, yani, At-Tirmidhi narrated and accepted this hadith from the earlier scholars, and Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, from the later day scholars. And we'll see as we read through this chapter that the Muhaddith of Medina, that is Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, the father of the author of the book, his father also declared this hadith to be sahih, to be acceptable, good hadith. And other scholars from the contemporary scholars like Shaykh Rabi' al-Madkhali, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, also considered this hadith to be authentic. And in these matters where the scholars differ about a grade of a hadith, then don't become dogmatic or fanatical, but rather follow the opinion that you think is strongest and don't fight with people over it. Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, he narrated this hadith in his Jami', and in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man salla lillahi 40 yawman fi jama'atin yudriku at-takbiratul ula. Five things. Man salla lillahi 40 yawman fi jama'atin yudriku at-takbiratul ula. Whoever does these five things, yani whoever prays lillahi for the sake of Allah alone, 40 yawman, for 40 days straight, fi jama'atin, in congregation, in the congregational prayer, yudriku at-takbiratul ula, and he reaches the prayer in time to be there present when the imam makes the first takbir from the beginning of the salah. Whoever does this, man salla lillahi, whoever prays for the sake of Allah, 40 yawman, 40 days, fi jama'atin, in congregation, yudriku at-takbiratul ula, he reaches the salat from its beginning, from the first takbir. When the imam raises his hand and says, Allahu Akbar, he's already there, standing in the line. Kutiba lahu bara'atan. Yani, he will be declared, it will be recorded for him, that he will be free from two matters. Bara'atun minan nar. He will be safe and saved from the fire. وَبَرَاءَةٌ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ, and he will be safe and saved and free from hypocrisy. The Shaykh says, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ جَلِيلَ الشَّأْنِ فِي بَيَانِ عَظِيمِ الثَّوَابِ وَجَمِيلِ الْمَآبِ لِمَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَى تَكْبِيرُةِ الْإِحْرَامِ وَعُنِيَ إِنَايَةً دَقِيقَةً بِإِدْرَاقِهَا وَعَدَمْ فَوَاتِهَا. Now this hadith is a glorious, and its affair is majestic, and it is in clarification. Yani this hadith clarifies for us the tremendous reward and the beautiful end for the one who guards, protects, and preserves. Yani is careful to reach the takbiratul ihram, the first takbir from the beginning of the salah, and who gives fine care, yani extreme care, to reaching, yani being present for the first takbir and not allowing it to pass him by. وليس المقصود بذكر الأربعين الاقتصار عليها ثم الانتقاء بعد ذلك. And it is not the objective or the goal or what is intended by the mentioning of 40 days, yani to merely do 40 days, yani do this for 40 days, yani to stick to this for 40 days, and then after that, cut oneself off from it. Meaning, the intent of this hadith, what is the maqsood, yani what is intended by it, is not that a person try to reach the first takbir and pray in jama'ah for 40 days and then go about their business and do as they like. That's not what is intended. Rather, إنما المراد بذلك والله أعلم أن الملازمة إذا استمرت هذه المدة المبينة فالغالب أن المرأة يتلذذ بالعبادة ويتذوق حلاوتها ويذهب عنه التكلف فيحصل له الاستقامة والمداومة بتوفيق من الله عز وجل. يعني what is intended, and Allah knows best, is that by al-mulazama, يعني sticking tightly, holding tightly to this affair of getting to the masjid early in order to be there from the beginning of the salah for the first takbir. إِذَا اسْتَمَرَّتْ, if a person continues for this period of time, that will make clear their affair and their condition. If a person continues with this, trying to be to the salat, every day, for such a long period of time as 40 days, فَالْغَالِبْ, يعني, overall, generally speaking, a person for in that period of time will enjoy the worship. They will begin to enjoy doing this, giving this kind of care and attention to the salat. And they will taste its sweetness. The person who's consistent in doing so, inshallah, they will begin to enjoy this worship. And being on time and praying the salah from its beginning, not coming late all the time, making up rak'ah. They will begin to enjoy this. And they will begin to taste the sweetness of it. What is the sweetness of it? Yani, the sweetness of it is what? That a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place in their heart, not on the tongue, in their heart, like the sweetness of food that you eat or drink that you drink. It's sweet. It will be sweet to your heart. You will love it. You will enjoy it. You will enjoy doing this thing for the sake of Allah. That pleases Allah. You will begin to taste His sweetness. And in this way, the burden and the difficulty and the hardship of trying to get to the salat on time every day will be removed from you. It will be removed. You will not find it difficult anymore. Allah will make it easy for you, inshallah. And in this way, a person will achieve al-istiqamah, being upright, and al-mudawana, mudawamah, yani being consistent by the tawfiq from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable this person then, yani, to be upright upon this and to be consistent in doing it. Allah will help you and Allah will make it easy for you, inshallah. The Shaykh, he says after this, well, before we go any further, let me just stop here and read a question that was asked to Shaykh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, about a hadith. The questioner said, من حافظ على الصلاة 40 يوما كتبت له براءتان, براءة من النار وبراءة من النفاق. And this wording is not the exact wording of the hadith, but the meaning is that, and whoever guards and preserves the salat for 40 days, then they will be written for him, they will be recorded for him, and to be free from two things, being free from the hellfire and being free from hypocrisy. So the Shaykh, hafidhahullah, he said, this hadith, it is a hadith from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, the hadith that we have just mentioned in this opening of this chapter. Yani that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever prays for the sake of Allah for 40 days in the congregation, reaching the prayer from the beginning for the first takbir, then he will have recorded for him freedom from two matters, freedom from the hellfire and freedom from hypocrisy. The Shaykh, he said, Shaykh Rabi'ah ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah, he said, وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ صَعَبْ. I'm reading this because I want us to understand something here. As the Shaykh just said, بِتَوْفِيقٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. With success, it comes from Allah. If a person tries hard and is consistent, then Allah will grant them success. The Shaykh, he said, وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ صَعَبٌ. This is a difficult matter. يَحْتَاجِ إِلَى مُجَاهَدَةَ لِلنَّفْسِ. And it requires that a person strive against their nafs. And their inner self, their lower self, that they have to strive and push and struggle. وحرص الشديد requires, يعني, strong, يعني, eagerness diligence. This is not an easy matter that everybody's going to be able to do. The person has to have يعني resolve, commitment, dedication. وَلَا يَتَأَتَّى لَنَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا إِذَا بَكَّرْنَا فِي كُلِّ صَلَاتٍ. And this will not become easy for us to do this, to be at the prayer from the beginning of it every day and every salat for 40 days. Except that we go early for every salat. Not on time. What? Go early. You have to say, I'm going to be early for every salat. So this is the first key, right? If you want to do this, you have to make sure you're early for every salat. Not on time. I'll just get there in time for the iqamah. No, you have to be early. Maybe you have to get there before the adhan, maybe. Or at least with the adhan. Or close behind it. Naam. The adhan should not be called except that you're already near the masjid or in it. If you want to be successful with this, when the adhan is called, you should be near the masjid or already inside. This is the key. And because if you're far away, you might not make it. You might get stuck in traffic. Something may happen on the way getting there. You might slip or something and fall and don't get up in time to catch the first takbir. And this will not be made easy for anyone, inshallah. Yani, but if a person does this, goes early for every salat, and when the adhan is called, make sure that they're already near the masjid or inside of it, then this will become easy for this person, inshallah. وَحْرِسُوا عَلَى هَذَا الْخَيْرِ. So be eager in diligence and diligent in seeking this khair. Yani, doing this is a tremendous matter. A person has to be eager though, they have to go after it. As the Prophet ﷺ said, احرس على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. احرس على ما ينفعك. Be eager in seeking that which benefits you. Huh? واستعن بالله. And seek help from Allah. Yani the tawfiq is from Allah. But you have to be eager in going after it, and you have to ask for help from Allah. وَلَا تَعَجِزُ. And don't feel that I can't do it. The Prophet ﷺ said this. Be eager in seeking that which benefits you. Ask Allah's help. You'll never be able to do it without help from Allah. And then don't feel like you can't do it. If you're striving to do it and you're asking Allah's help, why will you not be successful? Naam. So, the Shaykh, he says here now, Yani Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, concerning this hadith, he says, in this hadith, the mention of 40 days. In this hadith is the mention of 40 days. And he says, this 40 days, in it, the human being is transformed from one condition to another condition. Yani in 40 days, a human being is transformed from one condition to another condition. From the condition of not being in time for the salat, being late all the time, to a condition of being on time. In 40 days, a person can be transformed from one condition to another condition. As this has been confirmed in a Sahihain, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abdul ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُ أَحَدِكُمْ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. That the creation of one of you, of every one of you, of every human being, is gathered together, collected, formed, in the stomach of his mother for 40 days. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَكَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Then he will be as like a blood clot for a like number of days, for 40 days. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُضْغَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Then he will be like a lump of flesh. يعني مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. For a like period of time, Yani for 40 days. Yani the transformation of the human being in the womb of their mother is like this in 40 day periods. Human being changed from one condition to the next condition. To the next condition to the next condition. ثُمَّ يُنْفَخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ. And then the spirit, yani life, is breathed into him. Naam. So the Shaykh is saying what? That this 40 day period is the period of transformation, that a human being can change from one condition to a completely different condition. It's possible. Naam. Maybe a person takes Shahada today, like this young man here, this young brother, our new brother right here, he's a new Muslim, just took Shahada before Salat. And maybe in 40 days, if you see him, you're going to see, well, he already looks good. He looks like he's clean, mashallah, smile, clean, decent. He already looks good like a Muslim anyway. But in 40 days, you're going to see him looking different. He's going to be in a different condition 40 days from now. If he's coming to the masjid every day and sticking to the salat and learning his prayers and learning about Islam, wallahi, in 40 days, you're going to see a tremendous difference. Check it out. Check him out after 40 days. May Allah protect and preserve him. And let us be the people who help him. With only with that which is good. Naam. So the Shaykh, he says, reaching the first takbir is a sunnah mu'akkada. This is not something, do it if you make it or not make it. This is sunnah mu'akkada, confirmed sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ emphasized is very important from the practice of the Prophet ﷺ to reach the first takbir. وَقَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَدِيثِ مَنْ صَلَّى لِلَّهِ. Here the Shaykh gives a brief explanation of the meaning of the words in this hadith. In this hadith, مَنْ صَلَّى لِلَّهِ, whoever performs prayer for Allah, it means خَالِسًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ لَا رِيَاءً وَلَا سُمَعَةً. Means that the person does it sincerely from his heart. يعني مَنْ صَلَّى لِلَّهِ, for Allah, means that the person has ikhlas, sincerity in his heart. Not to be seen or to be heard. He doesn't do it to be seen, people to see him and say, look at him, he's good, mashallah. Or for people to hear about him, did he get a reputation? No, he does it sincerely for the sake of Allah from his heart. At-takbiratul ula, and the first takbir means takbiratul ihram. The takbir that makes it prohibited for you to engage in other activity other than the movements and the sayings of salat. Means the takbiratul ihram ma'al imam. Yani takbiratul ula means that you reach the first takbir, takbiratul ihram, with the imam. Yani when the imam makes takbiratul ihram, you are already in the line standing behind him to make it right behind him. Not on your way or entering the door and he made takbir and you didn't get there yet. But if the imam makes takbir, you can make takbir at the door, inshallah. But if he's already in ruku, yani you already missed takbiratul ihram, but if you make ruku at the door, what? You catch the rakah, right? Whoever catches the imam in ruku gets the rakah, but you didn't get takbiratul ihram. You didn't get takbiratul ihram. Naam. Bara'atun min an-nar, yani being free from the fire, means khalasun wa najatun minha, that a person yani is freed and they are saved. They will be saved from the hellfire. What more could a person ask for? Wa bara'atun min an-nifaq, and being saved from hypocrisy, it means being saved fi dunya, in this world, min an ya'mala 'amal al-munafiq. Being saved in this world from doing the actions, from acting upon the actions of the hypocrite, that you will be saved from doing the actions of a hypocrite. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ مِمَّا يُعَذَّبُ بِهِ الْمُنَافِقِ. And in the next life, you will be saved from that which the hypocrite is punished with. And being saved from hypocrisy, meaning being in this world, you'll be saved from the actions of the hypocrites, and in the next life, you'll be saved from the punishment that the hypocrites will receive. And Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, the father of the author, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, he said, Yani Baratun min al-Nifaq, and his father said, Baratun min al-Nifaq, it means that you'll be saved from the characteristics, the sifat of the hypocrites. And from their sifat, what? La ya'tuna salata illa kusala. They don't come to the salat except lazily. And they wait for the, yani asr prayer almost to sunset, and then they make four quick rak'ah. لا يذكر الله فيها إلا قليلا. And they don't mention Allah, they don't remember Allah in the prayer that they make. They don't remember Allah except a little bit. How can they remember Allah much? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What kind of salat is that? How much remembrance of Allah is in that salat? Person touched their head on the ground, and before they almost touch the ground, they're already springing back up and back down again before their bones even reach their place. And back up, and tashahud is like, maybe, who knows what they said? What could they have said in that time? They didn't remember Allah illa qalila. They didn't come to the prayer except lazily. The Shaykh, the father of the author, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he said, so being saved from nifaq means also being saved from the characteristics of the hypocrites. And from the characteristics that we should be careful from is that don't come to the prayer lazily, like it's a burden. Like it's a hardship. Like, I wish I didn't have to be here. This is from the characteristics of the hypocrites. And after this, the Shaykh says, and here he mentions a number of narrations and then a fiqh issue that's very important related to this topic. نعم. He mentions وقد كان للسلف الصالح رضي الله عنهم ورحمهم ما هذه التكبيرة شأن عظيم ومقام رفيع. That the righteous predecessors, as Salaf al-Sali, may Allah be pleased with them and have mercy upon them, they used to have a relationship with this takbir, a great relationship with this takbir, the first takbir, takbiratul ula, takbiratul ihram, and a high station. Their relationship with this takbir was different than our relationship. Yani, just think about it. Let's just think about it quickly for a moment, okay? We need to think about it a lot, but for a moment here, we don't have a lot of time. Alright? We start a little late tonight. How concerned are we when we came to the masjid and we already missed takbiratul ihram? We caught the first rak'ah. Do we feel like, alhamdulillah, I caught the first rak'ah? Or do we feel like, subhanallah, I missed takbiratul ihram? If you caught the first rak'ah, khalas, us, the way we are, alhamdulillah, I'm good. Got the first rak'ah. Some of us, if you miss the first rak'ah, you just caught the last rak'ah, I'm good. Alhamdulillah, I caught the last rak'ah. I just caught the imam is in tashahud. I'm good. Success. I made it. That's the way we think about it. That's not the way we should be thinking about it. Because the people that are our models who came before us, they didn't think about it like that. That was a disaster to them. Rather, we are happy if we just pray. I went to the masjid and prayed. Alhamdulillah, I didn't pray an hour ago, but at least I prayed in the masjid. That wasn't the way of our predecessors, our righteous predecessors, the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiyallahu anhum, and those who came after them. He mentions a few narrations. The first of them, قال وقي بن جراح, رحمه الله, a great scholar from amongst the scholars of hadith. يعني his sheikh was al-imam al-shafi'i, رحمه الله. وقي said, كان العامش قريبا من 70 سنة لم تفته التكبيرة الأولى. يعني that العامش رحمه الله for nearly 70 years he didn't miss the first takbir. How many years?
70.
واختلفت إليه قريبا من 70 and I went to him when he was nearly 70, فَمَا رَأَيْتُهُ يَقْضِي رَكَعَةً. And I never saw him making up a rak'ah. I never saw him, when the imam finished the salah, I never saw him getting up. Whose is that? Give it to him, maybe he can do something. I never saw him getting up to make up a rak'ah. Some of us, every prayer we make an abaraka. But alhamdulillah, at least we pray in the masjid. Other people don't even come to the masjid. But some of us, every salat, we make an abaraka, or two or three. If we catch the prayer at all. He said, I never saw him. 70 years old. And he still is coming to the masjid. Catching the salat from the first takbir to ula. وقال غسان رحمه الله حدثني ابن أخي بشر ابن منصور قال ما رأيت عمي فاتته التكبيرة الأولى. He said, the son of my brother Bishr ibn Mansur has narrated to me. He said, I have not seen my uncle, my father's brother. I have not seen my uncle missing the first takbir. I have never seen him missing the first takbir. وقال سعيد ابن مسيب رحمه الله, the imam of the scholars of the Tabi'in, ما فاتتني التكبيرة الأولى منذ 50 سنة. يعني the تكبيرة الأولى, the first takbir, I have not missed it since 50 years. That's one thing. He didn't miss the first takbir. But not only that. وما نظرت إلى قفا رجل في الصلاة منذ 50 سنة. And I haven't looked at the neck of a man in the prayer since 50 years. لمحافظته على الصف الأول. And this is due to his care and guarding, يعني reaching the first line. يعني the care that he took to not only make sure he's there for the first takbir, but to make sure that he's in the first line. يعني he said, I never saw the neck of another person in salat. If you're in the second line, you're going to see somebody's neck. He never even was in the second line. He was in the first line for 50 years. For 50 years. وقال محمد بن سماع وسماع مكثت 40 سنة لم تفوتني التكبيرة الأولى مع الإمام إلا يوم ماتت فيه أمي ففاتتني صلاة واحد في الجماعة. محمد بن سماع رحمه الله, he said what? I spent 40 years the first takbir, I didn't miss it with the imam. I didn't miss the first takbir standing behind with the imam, except the day in which my mother died. On that day, I missed one prayer in jama'ah. Except what? The day in which his mother died. Who can die is more important than your mother. And that day he missed one prayer in jama'ah. Maybe she died, and the salah was about to be taken, he had to attend to her. But he did what he had to do, and he didn't miss another salah after that in jama'ah. Subhanallah. And he said, وَقَالَ دَعُودَ كَانَ إِبْرَهِيمَ الصَّاعِغَ رَجُلًا صَالِحًا قَتَلَهُ أَبُو مُسْلِمٍ بِأَرَنْدَسِ. Yani Ibrahim As-Sa'ig, yani the goldsmith, he was a righteous man, and he was killed by Abu Muslim in a place called Arandas. He said, yani he narrates, Abu Dawud narrates concerning Ibrahim, the Rajul Ansali. He said, he was a goldsmith. وَكَانَ إِذَا رَفَعَ الْمِطْرَقَ فَسَمِيَ النِّدَى سَيَّبَهَا. That while he was working on the jewelry, if he raised the hammer and he heard the nida, he didn't even hit it that time or finish what he was doing. He let it go immediately. He raised the hammer, he wouldn't even go further. Once he heard that, then what? Masjid. Not even one more strike. Khalas, it's over. You hear it then? Stop whatever you're doing. We need to learn this. When I say we, I mean me first. Allah, this is important. When you hear the adhan, stop everything. Whatever you're doing, do it when you come back. Unless you're a heart surgeon and you got a heart with somebody's chest open in front of you. This is indeed, yani, guidance from the Salaf. Yani, whatever they were doing when they heard the adhan, the Prophet ﷺ is narrated authentically that he used to help his wives in the house with household chores. But when he heard the adhan, he was gone. And last, he said the saying of Ibrahim al-Taymi, rahimahullah, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَتَهَاوَنُ فِي التَّكْبِيرَةُ الْأُولَى فَغْسِلْ يَدَكَ مِنْهُ. That if you see the man who takes lightly, yani considers it unimportant, insignificant to reach the first takbir, yatahawanu, it's not that important. Then what? To do what? What do we do with him? Faghsil yadaka minhu. What does that mean? Yeah. Huh? Wash. Wash your hands from him. Meaning? Give him up. Get away from this person. A person doesn't care about takbiratul ihram. Some people sit in the masjid. Takbiratul ihram, they heard the takbir, they're still sitting. They're going to get up when they get ready to. Well, I saw it right here. I told the brother, when the takbir is pronounced, brother, you can't sit there. How are you sitting? Doing what? What are you doing? What are you waiting for? Rather, when the iqamah was made, you should have been up. Takbir, the imam started the salat. You're sitting in a chair doing what? Are you crippled? You need somebody to carry you to the line? Allah akhi, this is insanity. May Allah protect us from this. Ignorance. Hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Tayyib. And we almost finished. So the Shaykh, he has one more narration, yani from contemporary times, and then there's a fiqh issue and we will close. The Shaykh, Abdul Razak, حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him. He said, وكان جدي لوالدي وكان من العباد الصالحين رحمه الله وأسكنه فردوسه العالى ذا عناية عظيمة بهذه التكبير بل منذ عرفناه وهو كل يوم يدخل المسجد قبل أذان العصر وإذا صلى العشاء خرج وكذا دخوله المسجد لصلاة الفجر والظهر. He's narrating about who? His grandfather. يعني his father's father, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, حفظه الله, his father, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin's father. The Sheikh is saying, my grandfather, my father's father, he was a worshipper, a righteous man. May Allah have mercy upon him. And may Allah give him a place in the Most High Firdaus. He was a person who had great care for this takbirah, takbiratul ula. Rather, since we knew him, every single day he would enter the masjid before the adhan of Asr. And when he prayed Isha, he came out of the masjid. And he entered the adhan when? Before the adhan of Asr, and didn't come out until what? Till he prayed Isha. And likewise, his entry to the masjid for the two prayers, Fajr and Dhuhr, yani he used to enter them before the adhan for the salat. Rahimahullah. And I saw him, yani Sheikh Abdul Muhsin's father, 25 years ago. And at that time he was maybe 85 or 90. And he used to go from their house to their old house, before they built a new house in Medina, their old house, he used to go from the house to the masjid. I saw him myself before the adhan. I saw this man myself. And when we went to visit Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, his father used to be in the masjid before everyone. Naam. So listen to this story that the Sheikh tells us about his grandfather. He said, I remember some of the students of knowledge were asking my father, Hafidhahullah. They were asking my father in the presence of my grandfather. Yani, they were asking Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, and his father was there. They were asking about the authenticity of this hadith that has been mentioned here. And he answered that it is sahih. And this is Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, the muhaddith of Medina, also saying this hadith is authentic. فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمْ So one of them said, yani what hadith are we talking about? Whoever prays for Allah for 40 days in the jama'ah, catching the first takbir, it will be written for them, freedom from the hellfire and freedom from hypocrisy. Some students of knowledge, they were sitting with Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhahu Allah, and they were asking, is this hadith sahih? And he said, it's sahih. So one of them said, وَمَنْ يَسْتَطِيُوا ذَلِكَ Yani who's able to do that? Yani who can be in the masjid for every prayer, every day for 40 days from the first takbir? Yani that's, مَنْ يَسْتَطِيُوا ذَلِكَ So when my grandfather went out, may Allah have mercy upon him, from this sitting, and I was walking with him, he kept repeating, وَمَنْ يَسْتَطِيُوا ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ He kept saying, repeating what he heard this student of knowledge saying, who's able to do that? Who's able to do that? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yani nobody's able to do that? This is what Sheikh Abdul Muhsin's father is saying. He's repeating, when he left the masjid, he's saying, what's wrong with these people? Yani in amazement and disgust. Yani yukabbiru muta'ajjiban. Yani amazed, saying Allahu Akbar, out of amazement of this saying. This kind of saying, especially from a student of knowledge. Who's able to do this? Yani the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't have told us to do something that nobody is able to do. But this shows the mentality of the people today. Perhaps some of us are thinking, who's able to do this? The Shaykh Rabi'ah said, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهِ is sa'abun, amrun sa'abun, without the tawfiq of Allah. But a person has to do something to be able to achieve this. First and foremost, they have to go to the salat. For every salat, they have to go early. They have to make sure that when the adhan is called, they're either around the masjid or already in the masjid. When the adhan is called, not the ikama. You're not coming to the masjid for ikama, you're coming to the masjid for the adhan. If you want to achieve the like of this with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the Shaykh closes with this fiqh issue concerning the first takbir and the prohibition from the Prophet ﷺ of racing to the masjid for the salat, running to the masjid for the salat. You're not supposed to hasten to the masjid for the salat. And the Shaykh is saying here that some of the scholars say that if a person hastens a little bit in order to reach the takbiratul ula, if they have hope that they actually can reach it, then there's no harm in this. For the takbiratul ula, if a person hastens a little bit, I don't mean racing 60-yard dash, but yani stepping it up a little bit, because I have hope, I'm almost in time, they're getting ready to pray, they're getting ready to make the ikama, and I'm near, so I step it up a little bit. This is the issue that the Shaykh mentions here. He said, some of the scholars said that there's no harm if a person has hope, expectation of catching the first takbir, to hasten a little, yusri'u shay'an, as long as this hastening is not, yani, in the form that will be considered ugly, yani, just too much rushing. You're not supposed to come to the prayer like this. It came in a hadith from some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ that they used to hasten a little if they feared that they would miss takbiratul ula, the first takbir, while they had hope of reaching it. Yani, if they feared that they would miss it, but there was hope, it was still possible for them to catch it by hastening a little, then they used to do so. Who used to do this? Some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. It's narrated from Ibn Munzir and Al-Awsat. My son told me this Awsat, I didn't know what it was. I know the Awsat, Al-Tabarani, but I don't know this Awsat. It is Al-Awsat fi Sunan wal-Ijtima' wal-Ikhtilaf. A book by Ibn Munzir, Al-Awsat fi Sunan, yani the Sunnas, wal-Ijma', the consensus, issues that there's consensus about, wal-Ikhtilaf, and things about which there's difference concerning it. In Al-Awsat, he narrated from a man, from Tay, from his father, he said, كَانَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَنْهَانَا عَنَ السَّعِي إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Yani Abdullah ibn Masud used to prohibit us from hastening, rushing to the salat. So I came out one night and I saw him rushing to the salat. So I said, Ya Abdurrahman, yani Abba Abdurrahman, and that was his kunya. Abdullah ibn Masud's kunya was Abu Abdurrahman. Ya Abba Abdurrahman, كنت تنهانا عن السعي إلى الصلاة فرأيتك الليلة اشتددت إليها. You used to prohibit us from hastening to the salat, and I saw you tonight hastening to it. قال عبد الله بن مسعود said, إني بادرت حد الصلاة يعني التكبيرة الأولى. يعني I was hastening, rushing to catch حد الصلاة يعني the beginning of the salat, meaning the first takbir. Yani Abdul Masud is saying what? The hadith about hastening to the prayer does not include the person who has hope to catch the first takbir. If they have hope they can catch it, then they can hasten a little. That hadith of prohibition of rushing to the salat does not include this specific narrow issue of catching the first takbir. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah explains why. He explains why, and we'll close with this. قال الشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله, this, يعني, this action of Abdul Masud of hastening to catch the takbiratul ula points to the fact that this particular subject or this particular يعني, action is not included within the prohibition of the Prophet ﷺ of hastening to the prayer. And this is because his companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they were the most knowledgeable of the meaning of what they heard from him. Yani, they not only narrated the hadith, but they knew better than everybody else what it means. And there's a principle with the scholars of hadith that rawi al-hadith alam bima'nahu. Yani, that the one who narrates a hadith is the most knowledgeable of its meaning. The person who narrated the hadith, he heard it from the Prophet ﷺ. He knows better than somebody else coming along later telling him what it means. He narrated from the Prophet, he knows what it means. They were most knowledgeable of what? Of the meaning of what they heard from the Prophet ﷺ. For indeed, Abdul ibn Mas'ud, he was from amongst the narrators of this hadith. From those companions who narrated the hadith of prohibition of rushing to the prayer, one of them was Abdul Mas'ud. He was from amongst those who narrated this from the Prophet ﷺ. And actually, the context of the hadith also points to the fact that this prohibition, it is in reference to those who have already missed the opening takbir. Yani the prohibition of hastening after you already missed the opening takbir. What are you rushing for? Because even if you get there while he's reciting Al-Fatiha, or after Al-Fatiha, or even while he's in ruku, you still get credit for the first rak'ah. You don't get credit for takbiratul ula, you already missed that. So what are you rushing for now? You're going to get there. And you're going to catch the first rak'ah anyway, so there's no need to rush. So this, yani the context of the hadith of the prohibition of rushing to the prayer, indicates that this prohibition is in reference to the person who has already missed the first takbir. In that case, no need to rush. Because this hadith was narrated about people who the Prophet ﷺ heard their clamor, the noise, the uproar of them rushing to the prayer. While he, the Prophet ﷺ, was already in salat. And he heard this noise coming, the salat had already begun, he was already in prayer, they already missed takbiratul ihram. And they're rushing to the prayer. And he heard all this noise, so after the prayer he told them, don't rush to the prayer. Don't rush when you come into the prayer. Meaning what? If you already missed takbiratul ula, khalas, no need to rush now. Get there when you get there. So this is after what? After, yani he heard this noise while he was in prayer. So this is after the tahreem, yani after the opening takbir, takbiratul ihram. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الْإِقَامَةِ فَمْشُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Yani if you hear the iqama, then walk to the prayer. Don't rush. Walk. If you heard the iqama. Because if you heard the iqama, khalas, it's already too late. Unless you write out the door to mask you, when you heard the iqama, you're not going to catch takbiratul ihram. So generally speaking, whoever house is far from the masjid, if he came at the time when he heard the iqamah, then he will miss takbiratul, yani this takbir, he would already have missed it. So the difference between this matter and other than it, yani the matter of what? Of catching the first takbir. The person who has hope of catching the first takbir and rushing a little bit, the difference between this matter and other than it is that there's a great virtue, tremendous virtue that is narrated concerning the one who reaches the beginning of the salat, haddu salat, who reaches the salat from the beginning. There's a tremendous virtue in this. So reaching the beginning of the salat, yani idraq al had and yudrak awwalaha, yani reaching the beginning of the salat means catching the salat from the start of it. And this means reaching the salat before the takbirah of the imam. Catching the salat before the imam says, Allahu Akbar. There's a great virtue in this. Great reward in this. And this is that the person will be behind the imam at the time when the imam makes the opening takbir, Allahu Akbar. He has to already be behind the imam in one of the lines. And this part of the prayer, if you missed it, you can't make up for it. You can't get it back. You missed takbiratul ula, takbiratul ihram, you can't get that back. But if you missed something else in the prayer, you can get it up, right? You even missed the rak'ah, you make up a rak'ah, no problem. You missed, yani the al-fatiha, but you caught the imam while he's reciting something after al-fatiha, you still got the rak'ah. You catch the imam in ruku, you still got the rak'ah. If you missed the rak'ah, you just make it up. But as far as this part of the prayer, takbiratul ihram, you can't get it if it passed you by. There's no makeup for it. Therefore, it is allowed that a person hasten a little if they expect that they can catch it because they are very near and it's almost time for the iqamah. They should hasten a little bit so that they can get there in time. Naam. The person should be behind the imam when he makes the first takbir. So this part of the prayer cannot be made up if it passes you by. And this is because the one who reaches the rak'ah, even if he reaches the imam while he's in ruku, yani he will get credit. Yani the person will get credit for the rak'ah, even if the imam was already in ruku. As opposed to, if he missed a rak'ah, then it's possible for him to make it up, the rak'ah that he missed. But he can still make it up. As opposed to, if he missed the hadd of the salat, بخلاف ما إذا فاته حد الصلاة, if a person missed the opening takbir, the first part of the salat, then he has lost all hope of reaching hadd salat. يعني the takbiratul ula, or this beginning of the salat, and the reward that comes with it. If he missed the takbiratul ula, خلاص, there's no hope. You can't make anything up to get that. And you can get the rak'ah, but you can't get that reward for being in the prayer from its very beginning. So, if this, إذا كان هذا المقصود العظيم الذي لا ينجبر فواته يحصل بإسراء يسير لم يقرأ ذلك. And so if this great objective, which if it missed a person, cannot be made up for, if it can be achieved by a little rushing, a little bit of hastening, then this is not something يعني disliked. This is not disliked. It's permissible to do so. And the Shaykh, he says here, Allahumma musta'an. The Shaykh, he says here, وَبِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ التَّوْفِيقُ وَهُوَ وَحْدَهُ الْمُعِينُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And it is with Allah alone that we get success. And He alone is the one who can help. And there is no partner with Him. طيب. There are a few other points that we wanted to make tonight, but we'll skip it for now. But I would just say, and we'll probably attend to it at another time, I just want to remind us that the Takbiratul Ihram is accompanied by raising your hands up to the level of your shoulders or up to the level of your ears. And the way that this raising of the hands is described in the Sunnah is that a person should raise their hands up to the level of their shoulders or up to the level of their ears with their palms facing towards the Qibla and their fingers extended, not balled up, not a little bit, extended, and with the fingers slightly separated, not open like this, nor closed like this, not open like this, nor closed like this, nor balled up like this. Not up to the level of your chest or your waist. Up to the level of your shoulders or your ears. Facing the Qibla with your fingers extended, slightly separated. This is the way the Prophet ﷺ has been described as raising his hands with takbir. And this sunnah of raising the hands in this manner in the beginning of the salat and before going to ruku and coming from ruku is almost lost today. People are raising their hands. Some people don't raise their hands at all. They are deviant, astray, lost. And some people only raise their hands in the first takbir. And some people do not raise their hands the way the Prophet ﷺ raised his hand, even if they raise it all the time. And some people raise their hands in every movement, every time, all the time. And people do all kind of things. So I'm saying, brothers and sisters, please, when you make salat, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, said the Prophet ﷺ, pray as you have seen me praying. When you make takbiratul ihram, raise your hands properly. Pay attention. As one of the sheikhs said, we sent the video out some time ago, video recording of Sheikh Saad. He said, حَفَيْذَهَ اللَّهُ, in part of his yani discussion about the salat, he said, know where your hands are at. He said, know where your hands are at. Yani, when you're making takbir, know where your hands are at. They shouldn't be here. They shouldn't be like this. They shouldn't be at your waist. Know where your hands are at. When you're in ruku, where should your hands be? On your knees, grasping your knees, fingers completely separated. Where are your hands at when you're in sajda, pointing towards the Qibla, with your fingers together, with no separation between them, up to the level of your shoulders or your ears. Where are your hands in salat? When you're standing, when you're bowing, when you're sitting, how should your hands be when you're sitting? He said, know where your hands are in salat. This is part of the salat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Read Sifatul Salat al-Nabi by Shaykh al-Albani and read it carefully. Not like the people today read it. I read it. Everybody said they read it. But if you ask them about the things from the sunnah, they don't know it. Or at least we don't see them doing it.